I could spend some time with some people here. Let me just start the recording, and we are recording. Okay, great. So, hi, everybody.
Hi. Morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we...
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So...
Good morning.
Here's what I'm... Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, we've got Maryland, North Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma, New York, Tennessee. I want to say hello to all these people. Illinois, I said that. Texas, yeehaw. Pennsylvania, Long Island, New York. Okay, good. So, anyway, well, we've got a couple of minutes here, and not too many minutes. Right, real quick, does anybody have anything good you want to share, or you want to ask me something? On you need some coaching real quick before you officially get started? Anybody? Nothing? All right. All right, well, let me do this. You're all just going to be voyeurs and quiet, huh? Okay. So let me do this. Let me question and answer. Hang on one second. Okay. Right now, gang, everybody is muted because we have a lot more people calling in. California, good morning. Oh, I guess it's a little bit earlier in California than New York. South Carolina, thanks for calling in. Georgia. So, gang, we just got a couple of minutes before the call, and so while we're waiting for people to call in, I want to tell you I'm very excited and very glad that you're here on the call. We've got a lot to cover. You know, one of the things that I want to make sure that we focus on is me coaching you on specific things that you need help with. So, you know, try not to just listen in and have me do it to you. So I'm going to say that again because that's actually, I think, a life lesson we should probably focus on is that, you know, we're either at the effect of our lives or we are causing our lives. We're either at the effect of our business or we're causing our business. And I think for a lot of us, what has us not live a life worth smiling about or what has us not be where we want to be in our business is that we're not causing it. We're as much as we could be or should be. You know, we have to cause the results that we want. So, and watch this. This call is a perfect example of how you are in your day-to-day life. So, at the beginning of this call, which we officially didn't start, we had a lot of people that said, hey, how you doing? Does anybody have any questions or comments or coaching that you need? And, of course, we got real silent. And I understand there's perhaps there's reasons for that. You know, you're shy, you want to listen. But if you have an opportunity to have a breakthrough in your business and to talk to me for me to coach you, then, you know, causing your life, causing the results, causing the value is you raising your hand and saying, hey, Darryl, I got a question for you. As opposed to sitting on the sidelines, letting me do it to you, me causing your results, me causing the value for you. So, you know, one of our students, I'm going to say this and then we will officially get started. One of our students, I'm doing a seminar on Long Island this week, and we're going to be in Connecticut the following week. If people go to kickoffseminar.com, you can find that information, KICKOFFseminar.com, one word. Anyway, this agent on Facebook sent me a message saying, Darryl, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss you, but my son is deciding between three schools, so we're actually this week, we're going to the three schools, Brown University, Yale, and Caltech. And I was like, wow, this is one smart kid, and of course I asked the mother to adopt me, but when I was going back and forth with her, she was asking me some questions. I was giving her some coaching. You know, what's clear to me is that this boy, obviously he's a smart child, but he's taking life by the horns, meaning that he is participating full out. He's going to cause his success. I'm sure he worked very hard to get to where he is in his life. So anyway, all right, with that said. So we are officially started. Welcome, everybody. We've got so many people on the call. We've got Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, North Carolina, Missouri, Florida, I said Pennsylvania, Alabama, wow, Tennessee, Ohio, Texas. If I missed your state, I apologize. It's just a huge list of people here. So What we're going to do is, just a reminder for everybody on this call, if you want to talk to me at any point, and at some point I'm going to open up the call, how you do that is if you hit *7 on your keypad, and if you do that one time, it'll take you off mute. It takes about 10 seconds for it to respond, and then you'll be able to talk to me one-on-one. You know, part of our objective on these calls, number one, is to go through the magazine that you get every month, and I'm going to start the call focused on the magazine. The second thing is to do some one-on-one coaching with you, and then lastly, if we have time, I'm going to give you some suggestions on what I think you should be doing in the next 30 days. So let me go to the magazine. Now, a couple of things. Sorry, gang. Let me start off with this. You know, we created a Facebook page that I think is a great opportunity for you to network with other power agents. So anytime that you want to ask the group a question, you want to get some coaching on something, whether it's from me or if it's from a fellow power agent, you have ideas that you want to contribute, we just launched the Facebook page last month, so the membership is kind of small, but I anticipate it's going to grow the more and more people get involved. Right now we have about 49 members on there. Now, the address for the membership, for the Facebook page, is facebook.com/groups, and that's plural, groups, and then it's /power agents, all one word, singular. If we're going to try maybe during this call, if any of you are in front of your computers, if you want to ask me a question on the Facebook page, we can try that. I prefer you just to unmute yourself and talk to me because I don't want to stare at the screen, but we can give that a shot. So there's the Facebook page group for us. The second thing is we're going to go through this magazine. Now, if you have not gotten the magazine, it's on the website, thepowerprogram.com. You have to log in with your username and password. And if you lost your password, you can email us. If you haven't signed up, you need to do that in order to access the magazine. This month, we interviewed somebody this month, Todd Hammond. Now, Todd, are you on the call? If you are, Todd, I'd like you to unmute yourself because I want to talk to you for a second. So hit *7, Todd, if you're on the call. And let's see if Todd is with us. He's in Florida, so we have a lot of people from Florida. All right, I guess he's not on the call this month. So, Todd, I interviewed him as this month's power agent. You'll hear the recording on the Power Program website. What I really love about Todd is that he's a really successful agent in Florida, and he started real estate when perhaps this beach area that he worked was not doing so well. But, you know, he's just – what's really awesome about Todd is he's a successful agent, and he does surfing, and he drives a motorcycle, and, you know, he's just like kind of like a hippie on the beach. And he doesn't hide that he's a hippie on the beach, and he's a successful agent. Now, what I really love about Todd is he didn't sacrifice who he is and his love for life to try and be something that he's not – and try and be this successful agent, but success comes to him. So it was a really great interview that I had with him, and that's posted on the website for you. And he actually gave us some of his promotional marketing stuff. For those of you that have the magazine in front of you, if you go to page 22, and I'm going to point out some of the things that I like. I'm going to spend about 20 minutes on the magazine. Those of you that don't have the magazine in front of you, make sure that you – just write down these page numbers as I'm sharing this stuff with you, okay? Let's see. And by the way, I see somebody just try to join the Power Agent website. What we need to do is verify you're an active Power Agent before we let you into the site, so just be patient with that. So anyway, one of the things on page 22, Todd, he has a postcard here about his luxury beachside properties on one side, and the other part of the postcard that I really love, he says, the benefits of selling your home with me is I use professional photographers, virtual tours, social media, and videos. So I really love that that Todd bullets that so clearly on the front of his postcard. And the only thing he has here that I do want to critique, if he's on the call, I'd tell him this, is he says, I advertise your listing on 940 different websites, which is impressive. And then he says, and IDX feeds. Now, IDX feeds, a lot of us know, most of us know what that is. but most civilians would not know what that is. So you can argue why that's probably a good thing, but I don't think it is. So I think you got to make sure whatever you're saying, people understand it. And the other page, page 23, he's got a postcard that shows all of the properties that he sold. Now, what's really awesome about this postcard is that he doesn't put the price. And what's good about not putting the price is it's going to motivate people to, hopefully, to call and get more information about what those properties sold for. Now, not everybody's going to call on a postcard mailing like that, but people who are currently actively thinking about selling their property, those are the ones that are going to call. So in some respects, it kind of weeds out the, you know, the serious sellers from the, yeah, if I get my price, I would sell. All right. On page 24 in the magazine, he has a great ad. I'm not going to go through it because there's so much stuff in it. Page 25, what I did for you guys is I pulled the National Association of Realtors Affordability, Housing Affordability Index, because I thought it was just there's so much great information here that you can use on a listing appointment and even with buyers, because it shows, you know, what's happened in the prices of real estate since 2015, 2014, what the mortgage rates are, you know, the medium-sized income of a home, of a buyer. What's really awesome about this, it just positions you as an expert. So if you go on a listing appointment and you show a homeowner some statistical stuff about what's happening in real estate and what you anticipate is going to happen in the future, what that really does is it shows people that you know more than they do. You know, a lot of homeowners, see, the problem with homeowners, especially ones trying to do this on their own, is because they think all we do as real estate agents is do open houses and put a for, and hold do brokers open houses and just show property, and there's not a lot of skill in what we do. And I've said this before in my live seminars that, you know, we've got so many different states on this call, and my question for you is, like, how many hours does it take to get licensed in Tennessee or Massachusetts or Pennsylvania or Jersey? Most homeowners don't realize the intensity of what it takes to not only become an agent, but also to stay licensed as an agent. And for some of you, you might want to start to think about, well, can I illustrate to a homeowner, you know, how many hours it takes to get licensed? How many hours in CE do I need to follow up with that? You know, maybe there's your board or a real estate school has a brochure, a flyer, that summarizes really succinctly, you know, here's how many hours, here's the process, here's the topics, here's all the things that we need to learn. And I think showing that up front on a listing appointment is maybe a really powerful thing. Because it would show a homeowner, listen, there's more to selling a house than just put an ad in the newspaper or online or for sale sign on the front lawn and doing public open houses. So anyway, I tried to give you that one page on page 25, page 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, because it's tax time. What I did for you is I gave you this really great layout of all the ways for you to be more organized in your life, you know, getting your taxes, but not just your taxes, just things overall. You know, if something should happen to you, what's the process? You know, are your insurance covered? Does your, you know, one of our students, Gail Gladstone, she talked about many years ago that, you know, she had a bit of a scare, and what she realized is that if she were to pass unexpectedly, her husband would be lost because he didn't know of the companies that they owned and the properties that she, like, she didn't have it really laid out easily for him to help, you know, him deal with her death. So, you know, it's something that unfortunately we need to consider, but there's so much more that I gave you here on 27, 28, 29, how to keep track of your records. 31 is just, 31 and 32 is a Dick Matheson, agent who just had some great flyers that I really love that I wanted to give you to use either in mailings, to physicals, expired. On page 33, this to me is a great FSBO mailer. So on page 30, and by the way, gang, this magazine has so many great stuff in it, and every month let me tell you, I give you way more than you can ever possibly implement in the 30-day period. I treat this magazine as a smorgasbord, meaning that, you know, here's like, you know, 30 different ideas, whether it's ads, scripts, styles, like there's 30. And you know what? Just pick one or two. You know, whatever one you like the most that's going to help you in your business, because I'm trying to give you guys something that would apply to everybody. And, okay, let's see here. So page 33, Robin does this great flyer about are you the best-looking house on the block? First impressions are so critical. And she gives really two quick staging tips in this flyer. But here's what I love about what she does. She says on the flyer, not sure where to start, call me and I will do a complimentary buyer's eye view walkthrough and suggest the most cost-effective staging techniques. I really love that. There's a call to action. It's free. Great FSBO flyer. And I do want to tell you, gang, that sometimes in doing mailings or doing whether it's emails or mailings, you may not always get a response from it. But we just sent out an email today to a select group of people that, you know, we said, you know, give me a call for this thing that we're doing if you're interested. Now, we don't expect a lot of people to actually call or even email us back, but here's the power, is that when I call them in a couple of days, the fact that I emailed them, I touched them, when they hear from me, they might be more apt to picking up the phone and having the conversation. So some of the mailings or flyers or ads that you do is you want to get a response. That'd be the best thing. But if you can just plant your name and your face and what you do for a living in their brains when you do call them or contact them, they'll be more receptive of you. Sophia, not accepting the code properly. Okay, hang on a second, gang. We just have a technical problem. I know my office is on the call. If they can, I'm going to send an email to we have a problem with an agent, can't get into the call, and if you can just take care of that agent. Okay, great. So that's on page 33. 34, gang. So I love Robin's flyer. Now, 34, there's an agent, Sandra. What she did is she coined this phrase, and she actually has it as a trademark. It's called the Smooth Move Program. The Smooth Move Program. And here's it. First of all, on page 34, you're going to see an ad, and you're going to see like an agreement all on the one page. And the ad basically says, avoid the money pits of buying a house. Sandra Nichols' Smooth Move Program means a home is problem-proof. We have professional inspections for roof, foundation, chimney, door, there's a home warranty. You know, avoid the worries, save money, move in, and enjoy. This is a great ad to generate buyer calls. And, of course, I summarize the ad. There's so much more to it. It has a great layout, great imaging, great logo. So that's on page 34. 35. Dick has a form that he gives out to send out to past clients looking for referrals. I love that. Sandra on page 36, another great ad and a great qualifier for buyers, certain questions to ask a buyer. I really love it. All right, I'm coming to the end of the magazine. A few more minutes. Page 39, the FSBO mailing, another great FSBO mailing flyer. Or door hanger, or mailbox drop-off, or just a drop-off thing. For sale by marketing rules, there's 13 rules about selling your home, but for a FSBO. But when a FSBO actually reads these 13 items, for example, one of them is put an eye-catching, attractive for sale sign on the front lawn. Color is important. Never use handwritten signs. That's like, well, you see, as a realtor, we use professional, you know, signs. Make up small ad cards with photos and place it on bulletin boards in your local area. So every one of these things are things that we might do, and it makes it harder for a homeowner to do. So while you're giving tips to a homeowner, you're actually showing them just how hard it is to sell your own property. The other thing is page 39 is a good call to action. Whenever you run an ad, a postcard, anything like that you want to – offer something free to people where they can say, you know what, you know, if you're advertising, hey, Daryl Davis just sold so-and-so house, blah, blah, blah. We have a lot of buyers looking to buy in the neighborhood. If you know of anybody who's thinking about selling, give me a call. Plus, if you would like the for sale by owner marketing tips and techniques on how to sell your house for the highest possible price, give me a call for that. So you've got, in case somebody's not interested in your first offer, you're giving away something for free, and that might initiate the call or the response, okay? Here's another one. Love this. The page 40, Paula, she has this thing of a guaranteed service program. There she uses the 9 deadly mistakes sellers make when listing their home for sale. There's an example of that call to action. 41 is the 37 tested direct mail suggestions that I gave you on page 41. Let me just read three real quick. When you use a headline that promises a benefit, for example, new ways to sell your house for more money. So that's a real catching headline. I love it. When you're doing seller seminars, how to sell your house in today's challenging market might be another title. Use headlines that are for select prospects. So, for example, free to homeowners. Whenever you're placing an ad, a flyer, promotional piece, you don't want to try to appeal to both buyers and sellers in that offer, in that ad, because buyers think differently than sellers. Sellers think they can do what we, like, for the most part, sellers would opt to not work with a realtor if they could do that, whereas buyers, they're almost always willing to work with agents. So you've got two different mentalities, two different selling points, two different hot buttons, two different calls to action. So it's almost impossible, at the least it's a horrible idea, to do any kind of advertising promotion that you're trying to get both types of people. So whenever you're looking at your advertising, your mailings, you want to ask yourself, what are you committed to attracting? Are you committed that this thing that you send out is going to help you get listings, or is it going to help you get buyers? That's a very important question to ask. You know, if you, let me give you an example of a horrible, horrible mistake. Let's say you do a postcard, a just listed postcard, okay? And your postcard is advertising this house that you just listed. And you're promoting this house. It's a wonderful house. And you say, if you're looking to buy in this neighborhood, call me today and I'll be happy to show you this house. So if you're mailing out a just listed, wanting to show that house, and you're mailing it to the neighbors of that home, well, who most likely people are not going to sell their house to buy their neighbor's house that you just mailed a postcard to. It's possible, but that's a horrible idea. Now, if you took the same just listed card and you mail it out to the neighbors and said, hey, want to give you a heads up, one of your neighbors just hired me to market their property. Because of this, we expect a surge of buyer activity. If you're interested to find out what your home is currently worth in today's market, give me a call. And even if you're not interested, I have a report, the 37 tested ways to get your house sold for the highest possible price in the future or something like that. So now you're taking the just listed, you're mailing it to generate listing appointments. That makes sense. If you want to do a just listed and you want to generate buyers, well, then you should do that card, but you might do the mailing in a neighborhood where it's people are renting and they want to buy a house, or it's a first-time buyer area that you're mailing to and the house that you just listed is an upsell for people. So you need to be real clear on the type of audience that you're marketing to. All right. So that's it on that. Okay, great. Let me finish up 5 more minutes, and then we're going to open up the call to questions. So if anybody has questions, you need to start thinking about it. because I'm going to open up the call. And I do have Sue on from Keller Williams. I know that you emailed me this morning question, so I hope you're on the call. But hang in there, Sue. On page 43, there's a great feedback form. So anytime somebody shows one of your listings, you want to get that feedback from them about what did their buyers think about the price, the location, exterior, da, da, da. Now, if you're using like an online scheduler like Showing Time, they have a built-in thing which is great to do that. Or if you want to do an email or you want to do a link to something, people fill out a form. But what I love about the idea of you getting feedback from other agents that show your properties, there's two things that I love about it. Number one is that it reminds the agent who just showed your property that your property is there. It's just a good touch. It's a good marketing thing. That's number one. Actually, there's three things going on. Number two, it is great feedback to use this after you get several comments or feedbacks from after showings as a price adjustment tool. But the third thing that's also good about this is I would show this to a homeowner on a listing appointment, showing them this is one of the reasons why our houses sell for more money than are for sale by owners, because we get valuable feedback after a showing that for sale by owners really never get. Which, by the way, I just had an epiphany. I just want to share this real quick with you. You know, when you're going on a listing appointment, there's almost like two concepts that a homeowner first has to buy into, you know, or you have to explain. So they may not buy into it, but you explain it. If you're talking to the FSBO, the first thing I would do is I've given you guys a lot of stuff in the classroom section of the Power Program website that talks about the USA Today article, the Coldwell Banker article. Like, people trying to sell their own property, they actually lose money. They don't save money. People who have invented on how to sell their own property, you know, FSBO.com, they actually list with realtors. So what I would do is, going on a listing appointment, I would first show them that FSBOs don't save money, they lose money. So I would use this stuff in the classroom, like the USA Today article, everything else. And then I would then explain to them why that's true. So I would first show them, for sale by owners, you don't save, you lose money. Now, that's not me saying that. That's USA Today saying. That's the New York Times saying. There's all of this data, this information that shows you. Now, I get that you're probably still, I don't understand how that's possible. Because if the house is worth this and I can ask less than you and it's still saving me some commission, why would somebody not buy it? Then I would go on to the second part of that conversation, showing them, well, selling a house is more than just doing open houses. That's why you got to get 60 hours to even get licensed, or 100 hours to get licensed, whatever your state is. There's feedback that we get from people after they show the property. So there's all of that stuff. So anyway, that's good. There's a checklist, guaranteed sales program. There's so much in here. I'm just skipping stuff because now I got to open up the call. But I do want to tell you this one. I do want to show you this last thing. Now, this is old. This is on page 49. On page 49 is a copy of one of my students' listing presentation. And his listing presentation was only 6 pages. Only 6. Now, I never taught this, but Robert Kirby ran with this. And Robert Kirby, I love talking about Robert Kirby. He goes back to 1997, so that shows you how old this is and also how old I am. What I love about Robert's listing presentation is that, first of all, he listed and sold in Virginia Beach. And now there's still some, you know, prejudice that he had to deal with. So so funny. His marketing, his brochure that he had this guy in the front, white glasses, da-da-da. And anyway, it's a white guy, Robert's African-American, and he openly told me, he said, Darryl, I cannot tell you how many people I would go on their appointment, and they didn't believe I was Robert Kirby because they thought the guy on the cover of this thing was Robert Kirby, and it wasn't. And he purposely said, Darryl, I put the white guy in there because I knew I was dealing with prejudice. And then when I met people and they reacted the way they did, there was a certain amount of guilt that they had. Like, if they didn't list with me, they were almost admitting they were prejudiced. So it's such a weird thing that he did, but it worked for him. Now, but also, but listen, that's only part of it. Robert was a strong agent, successful agent, so he had a lot of credibility behind him on top of it. So he would show, and I'm just going to point out a couple of things that I loved about his six-page listing appointment. On the bottom of page 50 in your magazine, it says five good reasons to list with Robert, and he lists five homeowners who were all expired listings, and they listed with him, and it sold within 14 days, 12 days, 30 days, and then he put their phone number next to their name. So that's the first thing that I love about it. Hang on a second. I just saw somebody comment here, one of my good friends. Give me one second. We're on the Facebook page. The next thing that I love on page 51 is he said, why choose Robert's marketing system to sell your home? Because in 1997, watch this, he sold 132 families, 132 homes. So that gave him a lot of credibility. Then he's got a plan to action, four things that he's committed to accomplishing. Then he has a 20-point marketing plan, and then he's got some information for homeowners, and then a comparison chart with other why you should list with Robert versus other agents. So in 1995, he sold 110, then 124, 132. Anyway, that's it for the magazine, and I'm going to open up this call for a minute. Let me see. March 7th. I'm looking over here. I just saw it. Give me one second, gang. I'm dealing with technical. There we are. Marty Sorrentino, I see that you just commented on something. All right, great. All right, gang. So let's open up the call. Are you on the call, Sue? Sue, are you on the call? Sue Brett, if you are, I want you to hit *7 on your keypad one time. That's going to take you off mute. So *7. One time, Sue from Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Are you there, Sue? *7 one time. Yes, no, going once, going twice. Okay, so I guess she's not on the call, gang. Here's was her question, and then I'm going to open up the call to everybody else. She asked, she says, my office, this is kind of crazy, she said, my office has 225 agents in it, and there's another real estate company less than 3 miles away. They have 225 agents. So between the two, there's like 500 agents, or I'm sorry, 450, and then you've got all these other small companies. I've tried calling expireds, and people keep telling me when I call, they say agents have been calling us since 7:30 this morning. So the bottom line is the average agent makes $25,000 a year in her market. She wants to not be average. She wants to really succeed. How do you compete in a market where there's so much competition with realtors? Well, so here's for you, Sue, and everybody else. I'm going to answer the question.
I'm here, Daryl.
Oh, there you are, Sue. Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm good. I guess you couldn't hear me earlier. I'm speaking louder now.
I can hear you just beautifully now, darling. All right, so, Sue, here's a couple of suggestions that I have for you. Number one, I'm going to work backwards. Number one, you should still, first of all, you should still be calling physicals and expires. I wouldn't have that deter you if there's a lot of competition because, quite honestly, you know, if there's 500 agents, there's probably maybe 10 that are actually calling physicals and expires. So I would not get discouraged by that approach. That's number one. Because what happens with calling and prospecting physicals and expires, it's a lady luck thing. You know, lady luck, you know, sits on somebody's shoulder. They get a lot of business. And then lady luck moves to the next person, to the next person. So there's a cycle of success that happens. And it's almost like musical chairs. You know, you want to be in it to win it. So if you get discouraged and you stop calling, let's say after, you know, a couple of days and you take yourself out of the game for a week, well, lady luck it might have landed on you when you were not in the game, and so it went to the next person. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, because think about it. Let's say there's 10 agents who are actively, you know, working physicals and expireds, and let's just say agent A, agent B, agent C. Let's say you're C. So A gets lucky for a while, then B gets – and they stop prospecting because they got some listings. So now B gets some business because A is out. And if they get, B gets successful and then you decide this is not working, you take yourself out, the next person to get lucky, so to speak, is Agent D. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
So don't stop. Go ahead, hon.
I've done some research within just our office, and there are 27 agents that start. One starts at 7:30 in the morning, all the way up. They all use Red X. And our broker, at least 2 to 3 times a week, is telling us, do not call such and such person or number. They're not selling their house. Because we really saturate them. And I don't know about you, but when I call and somebody starts yelling and cursing at me because I'm like the fifth Keller agent who's called that day, that morning. I just want to cringe.
All right, well, I understand. All right, so here's a couple other suggestions I have for you. You may want to consider going directly to the house, knocking on the door, and offering something of value to them. So that's another option that you can do. Now,
okay, I haven't thought about that one.
Yeah, so, you know, one is, so now you're not, and you might even do this, if you know the market is very competitive and people are getting upset with all these calls, you know, I might knock on the door and say, you know, they answer the door and say, hi, are you Sue? Hi, Sue. My name is Daryl Davis. I'm with Power Realty. And I hope it's okay that I stop by. I'm sure that you've probably been getting a lot of calls from agents, especially from my office, because the market has been so strong with people listing with our company. And so, but I just wanted to be a little bit stronger instead of just calling it, stopping by and putting a face to my name. So. I also brought over something for you, which is how to get your property sold in today's market, or, you know, the mistakes that homeowners make, and I would hand them the offer so they open up the door more, and then I would start some dialogue. By the way, how are things going? How's the activity been? You know, it looks very nice from the outside. Where are you guys thinking of moving to? Why there? When do you need to get there by? Would you be offended if I just came through real quick to see your house? So, Sue, what you would do, the listing happens in the listening, that the better you are questioning, having a conversation, people will choose the person that they like and trust the most. And how you get somebody to like and trust you is you have to have a dialogue. You have to have a conversation. You have to build a relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, there's some other – who's that on the call?
Marty Sorrentino.
Hey, Marty! Hold it right there, Marty. I want to finish my thought here. Everybody, we got a great guy on the call. Hang on, hold it. All right, now, let me finish, Marty, with Sue real quick. So, Sue, and I know you probably have something to add to it, Marty, because Marty is the door knocking. No, you know what, Marty, just go, man. You wouldn't have interrupted me unless you had something good to say. Marty, for those of you who don't know Marty, Marty Sorrentino is one of my oldest power agents from 1990s, and a very successful agent, works two markets, just a great human being. He's but very successful, and did coaching for my company for a while. Anyway, Marty, go ahead, buddy. What do you got to say?
I just wanted to add in there about, you know, because you know I am Mr. Door Knocker.
Yes,
so
sir.
I'm thinking this nice lady who's going to the door and, you know, 40 people have already called these people. And maybe what she could do is just kind of go over there and before she says anything, just basically say, listen, I'm just here to apologize for all the activity people have been calling and bothering you. I just want to let you know that I'm a local realtor here. And just as a sign of, you know, whatever, I brought this really great cheesecake that's made over at the local bakery over here. So when you're having coffee tonight and a little cheesecake, just take my apologies for all the aggravation and the phone calls you've been getting. By the way, here's my card. If you're ever interested, I'd like to sit down with you.
I like that.
Now, Sue, let me point out something about Marty, because this is for everybody to understand this. I mean, this is really, really important. The thing about Marty, you know, he's one of my most successful favorite agents that I worked with. And the reason why that is because Marty doesn't do real estate. He is real estate. Now, Sue, what I also mean by that is Marty never interacts with a buyer or seller with a commitment to closing them. He is committed to serving them. Marty loves real estate. He loves putting people together. He sees what he does as a service. He doesn't technique people. He doesn't close people. He doesn't try and do it the right way. He just wants to friggin' help people. Now, Sue, the reason why this is important is because if you approach anything you do when it comes to building inventory and listing, whether it's on the telephone or if it's in person, door knocking, if you knock on that door with a commitment to be a salesman to try and get a listing appointment, are you following me so far, Sue?
Oh,
if if you go to the door with a commitment to closing them and you think this is a technique and you're going to try the cake technique or the here's the free report technique because you're trying to take something from them, it will not work. You will come across as inauthentic. You'll come across as a Hare Krishna at their door. But if you go to the door with a commitment to build a relationship, just be nice and be yourself and love real estate, how can I help you? Whatever technique. You know, you might say, oh, I love the cake technique or the donut technique or the report. But you have to be authentic with who you are. And that's what will get you some headway with these people. Does that make sense, Sue?
Yes, and it goes along with who I am as a person.
Great. And that's the secret sauce in real estate sales. So, Marty, thank you, buddy. That was pretty great. All right.
Hey, listen, Daryl, I think you taught us a long time ago, right? Aren't FSBOs just friends you haven't really met yet?
I'll take credit for that.
You know, I mean, it's so true. I look over the course of my years, and I think of all the people that were for sale by owners that originally had hung up the phone on me or maybe slammed the door in my face, but I stayed the course, told them I was committed to what worked for them, and you become friendly with them over the years. And then, of course, then they refer you to everybody, you know?
Exactly. I mean, this is a people business, you know, we're not selling cars. I will tell you though, even from a car standpoint, the last car that I purchased, I remember the salesperson. Actually, that's not true. The last car I bought was just a tech. I just had to buy this car, and there was no relationship with the salesperson. But the car before that, I really, really felt that this car salesman was not trying to sell me. You know, they really loved what they did. They loved cars. They wanted to build a relationship. You know, when a prospect feels comfortable to be themselves, then they can choose to work with you, and you'll have so much better results. So, yeah, very great. All right, Sue, did that help you, darling?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, too, Marty. I appreciate it. And I will
try. My pleasure.
All right, thank you, Sue. Anybody else, if you have a question, now, Sue, what you'll do is hit *7 on your keypad one more time, and that's going to put you on mute. Marty, you can stay there with me if you want. If anybody else have a question or something that you need help with, hit *7 on your keypad, and that will unmute you. Is Ed there? Is that who just unmuted themselves, Phoenix, Arizona?
This is Wayne.
Wayne, I'm sorry, Wayne. All right, Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, real good. I had a strange thing happen last week, and I wanted to get your advice on it.
Sure.
Yeah, I was out on a listing appointment, and it was a cookie-cutter neighborhood, so it was pretty easy to comp it and be very confident in it. Mm-hmm. I gave it was something I've been working with this person for a year. They were friends of the family referral. $180,000 was the listing price. And we have a new broker in town, a new business model, and they advertise on the radio to make automated offers. And so apparently her dad had told her, call this company, go on the website and get an offer from them, see what they value your house at. So their automated offer came up $186,000.
Okay.
And so I did a net sheet on theirs and mine at 180,
yep.
theirs at 186. They came out about $3,000 more going
yeah.
with the 186, okay?
Yeah.
And I said, well,
yeah.
if everything's on the up and up, if that is the true offer and they're not trying to, you know, get your price down anymore, I think you should go with that. I think that's a good deal for you. And I had seen
yeah.
some of this broker's activity out there before, and they've lost money on deals. So
yeah.
anyway, she said, okay. She says, well, let me think about it. Well, I get an email from her a couple days later. She went with a friend of theirs that's a realtor for $210,000
yeah.
listing. You know, which
yeah.
is way, way out.
Okay, so Wayne, I got, yeah, what would you do? Okay, so here's the problem. Well, first of all, you know, you saying that, you know, you should go with the other one because the net is $3,000 more. You know, that didn't help you at all, right? And
yes.
and here's what, yeah, and by the way, gang, Wayne's question is not just about this situation. Wayne's question is also for, you know, Daryl, how do you deal with the other broker said, you know, that they can get me more money? Or this also applies to, you know, the other, you know, if I go as a FSBO, I can net more money. It's all the same arena. And
well,
Wayne, here's go ahead, what? Go ahead, what?
I was just going to say, Daryl, you know, I felt like it was the honest response. And the other thing is they had a bona fide offer for $186,000.
Yeah, so here's what I would have done.
And this company saves cash.
Well, oh, so in other words, you're saying the other broker, that wasn't the list price, that the, like, that's what that broker would actually buy the property for?
Yes, yes, they buy, in the last 6 months, they bought $69 million worth of real estate. They've done 200.
Well, here's my question.
Deals.
Well, here's my question. What's their business model? Why are they buying the property? For what purpose?
They buy it, then they turn right around and put it back on the market. They charge
okay.
8% going in. So that $186,000 was less 8%, plus they run it through an escrow. And then they turn right around and put it back on the market, and they raise the price usually a little bit, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they lose money.
Okay, so what, yeah, well, all right, so
they're in three markets. They're in
okay.
three markets.
What's the name of the, what's the name of the company? What's the name of the company?
Open Door.
Open Door?
Yes. I
all
think
right.
they're
open,
in
open.
California and Texas.
Okay. All right. Sell your home fast. I see it. Okay. Here's what I would say, Wayne. So now I'm going to retract and go back to what I was saying because I thought your question was different. So, gang, so Wayne, here's what I would say across the board for you on this and everybody else is if you have somebody that you're competing against on a regular basis, every business model has a strength and has a weakness. Every business has a strength and has a weakness. And Open Door might have this great strength. Hey, type in your address. We're going to make you an offer because I'm looking at the website now. You know, type in your address. We'll make you an offer. But there might be some drawbacks to this. I don't have enough information yet to say what it is. But I will guarantee you, Wayne, that there's something, there's a weak link in their armor that you have to find. And when you have a company that you keep, you go on listing appointments and they keep showing up as your competition, you need to find out what those weaknesses are. Now, I'm not saying you should go on an appointment and really hammer those weaknesses. I never believe you build the tallest building by knocking down others. But
right.
what you do want to do, you do want to be educated in such a way that you can find what doesn't work about this. So that way you can coach a seller with the best possible advice as to the decision that they should make and what you think. And if they're forcing the comparison, it's okay for you to then compare yourself. So, you know, here's what I do know is when something is too good to be true, it usually is. There's usually something that doesn't work about it. So you need to get a little bit more educated about Open Door, what they do, how they do it. Opendoor.com is, I found it, and so it's hard for me to answer your question because really with specifics on how I would have dealt with this appointment, because I've never heard of Open Door until you just brought it up. But
yeah,
I will promise you, Marty, yes, I'll give you a second. I will promise you I'm going to get more educated between now and the next call. And if you want to bring it up again, we can talk about it. Go ahead, Marty. What do you got?
Yeah, that brings up a point. I remember when we took the course, you recommended us getting a book. And was it The Art of War, or was it a certain book that you wanted us to buy, basically, that told us how a much smaller army can defeat a larger army as long as they understand where their weak point is?
Yes. Now, Marty, you see, this is why I love you so much, because when did you first start with me? How long ago was that?
1995.
And you still remember stuff that I said back in 1995? Because I haven't.
I'm a disciple.
That.
You know that.
Right? Yeah, you're awesome. All right. Well, with the book that you're talking about, Marty, everybody else, and Wayne, what he's referencing it, and you know what's funny? I just brought this book up. I was talking to my fiance about it this morning, and I just mentioned the book. It's Marketing Warfare. Marketing Warfare by Jack Trout and Al Reese. It's a very old book, but it's a powerful, powerful book that shows, it gives a lot of comparisons between like the Burger Wars and the Cola Wars. And there's always you want to find the weakness in your competition and make that weakness your strength. It is a fun book to read. It's an interesting book to read. It's an easy book to read, and it's a powerful book. So you're right, Marty. That's awesome.
Darryl,
so Wayne,
let me just add something else to this gentleman. You know, and I've seen it a lot of times over the years. You know, an agent goes in there, and an agent takes on this role that I'm the realtor. I know value. I know this. I'm going to tell the homeowner what their house is worth. And you know, for the most part, we do know the values, sometimes even before we walk in the door. But when you give the homeowner the option to select the price, it gives them a little bit more power. And it also it lets them know that you're really concerned for them. For instance, there's a 30-day, a 60-day, and a 90-day price. You know, and one price could be 180 at 30 days, 60 days could be 200, 90 days could be 210, 215, whatever it is. But when you give the owner an option to select their own price, they feel empowered, and they really respect you a lot more, and they don't like being pushed in the corner. Well, wait a minute, this guy says my house is only worth 180. I'm getting 186 from some fly-by-night. And by the way, Wayne, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Wayne. You know, a lot of these companies, they come and go. They may be funded by some hedge funds or they whatever, but Darryl will maybe tell you a quick story about Foxton's, which kind of hit the New York market many, many years ago. And I predicted they would be shortly out of business because of how their model was, and it was the 2% listing, and all the realtors started to panic and everything else. And you'll see this even with cases right now, and no offense to anybody that's paying Zillow right now, but you know, Zillow is a very large billion-dollar company that is making money off agents, that is got a model that is very much out there. I mean, they've got the Z word. You just type the word Z on Google and Zillow pops right up. Not Zebra, not anything else, not Zoom. So what I'm Zillow has its downfalls too, and you have to understand that if you're going to take on this business that we're in.
Yeah, so, I mean, Marty said something that was very powerful, Wayne, everybody else, too, is that, you know, when you think about it, one of the mistakes that homeowners make is that they'll go on a listing appointment, or the agents go on a listing appointment, and they'll say, you know, this is the price that I think you should list at. And without them realizing it, they've now labeled themselves as, all right, you're the $180,000 agent. And then another agent comes over and says, yeah, Mr. Mattai, I think your house is like 190. And now they're the 190 agent. So what happens is the homeowner, Mr. and Mrs., they sit down and they say, all right, we have this agent 180, this agent 195. And almost what happens is the homeowner makes the choice of the agent based on the price and not on their skill and ability. So sure. One of the things that Marty is saying, and that's a very powerful concept, is that, which is what I did, I never said that your house is worth bada-bing, because I don't know what your house is worth until a buyer is willing to pay that price. What I do believe, based on my experience, is you're in this category. You're in this range. So I never gave specific numbers. I gave ranges. And that way it didn't hold me to some kind of number. Now, if a homeowner decides that they want to go on the high end of the range, that's fine. It just means to create more demand, we need more time, we need more marketing, we need to spend more money to get more people through. And that's fine as long as the price is not ridiculous where it never will sell. So that's just a great suggestion. And here's one other thing, Wayne, everybody else, is that if you ever feel that the homeowner is price shopping, you know, looking for the number that the agent says, the 180, the 190, blah, 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 you need to have a conversation with the homeowner up front. That one of the biggest mistakes homeowners make is they hire an agent based on the price that they tell them, not based on the skill. You know, one of the objection handling techniques that I have on the Price It Right CD, it's on the commission CD too, is, you know, let's say you were going to have, you needed open heart surgery or you need a brain surgery, and you got these two doctors to choose from. You know, one's 10 grand, the other one's 50 grand. But the one that's 10 grand, he canceled his subscription to better medical practices. He hasn't done a surgery in years. The results are not good. Then you've got the other one, which is more professional. I mean, here's my point. I mean, that's obviously a ridiculous question. Who would you hire, the 10 grand doctor or the 50 grand? Well, of course you're going to hire the 50 grand doctor, not because of the price, though. And that's the point. You're hiring them based on their skill and their ability. You know, so when it comes to selling your house, there is, you know, there's good, better, and best agents. Mr. and Mrs. Hanna, you need to hire the agent, not the one that is the cheapest or you think you're going to net the most, but whoever you think is the most skilled at getting the job done at the best possible price. So that's the kind of conversation you need to have. Did that help you, Wayne?
Yes, that was great information. Thanks, guys.
You know, Daryl, if I could just add that, you know, people think that we're in the real estate business, but, you know, real estate is the product that we help to sell. But we're in the people business, and you have to read the person that you're sitting across or next to at their kitchen table. You have to read and see what their real concerns are. You know, Daryl, I have the pleasure of coaching my younger son in real estate now, and we were heading over to an appointment, and I said to him, you're going to tell these people that you're going to do a key escort on every showing. And he's like, but Dad, we've got the Sentry lockbox and we can do this and blah, blah, blah. And I says, hold on a second. I says, every other agent that's coming in the door on this for sale by owner is telling them the same thing. We're going to put the lockbox on there. Don't worry. Well, guess what? We get into the house. They have a cat and a dog that they love very much. And when we saw that, the first thing I said to the homeowners, I said, you see this dog and cat? This is part of your family. We're going to escort every showing here because you need to know when you're not home that we're here making sure that Fido and Fifi don't get out the door. Let me tell you something. We've got the listing just on that line alone that we were going to escort the key.
Wow, that's awesome, Marty. That is so awesome.
Why? Because we were reading the people. You know, Daryl, you know, you've been on appointments and you get these guys that are literally a rocket scientist. They deal in black and white. They deal in spreadsheets. They don't care about the fluff and everything else. And those people you have to handle accordingly also. But the most people, as you know, their home is their most valuable asset. That's where they laugh, they cry, they celebrate.
Yep.
Very emotional thing. So when you get in there, you've got to read the people. You've got to read who they are, what they're all about. And then you have to really have a lot of what we call simpatico, and you have to really be able to see what is important to them. And then as human beings and realtors, do what we have to do to make that client satisfied and to get the job done.
Well, you know what? Something I've been saying in my seminars lately, you know, I go through these phases where I get passionate about, like, a concept or a distinction, and it winds up permeating more so in my seminar than maybe I may do the same seminar as a year ago as far as content, but it's heard differently because of what I'm focusing on. And one of the things, Marty, that and everybody on the call that I've been focusing on more lately is showing these videos of this hooper, Rachel Lust, that she's an incredible hula hooper, and she's a hooper, she's mastered, da-da-da. And the reason why she's so successful is because she doesn't focus on the move anymore. And she knows the moves of hooping, of hula hooping. And because she knows the moves so well, she's mastered them, she can just focus on dancing and having fun and smiling. And that's exactly what you're saying, Marty, is that when you master the business, part of the problem is that agents, they go on a listing appointment and they're not dancing, which is what you're talking about, Marty. They're not dancing with the homeowner, sensing who they are, giving them what they need to help serve them. They're not dancing because they're looking at their feet on how to dance. They're in their head about, well, should I move this way or should I move that way? Should I use this script? Should I use this technique? Should I talk about this thing in what we do in real estate? You know, gang, the more you're thinking in your head, the more you're not dancing on the kitchen table with that homeowner. So you've got to feel really comfortable in your own skin, feel really confident in that what you do is serve people and don't sell people, and know your business, know your profession. And when you go to the appointment, speak from your heart. Stop trying to do it the right way. Speak from your heart. You can be more authentic. They're going to pick up on this. They're going to choose you over somebody else because they want to choose somebody who's not trying to sell them, but they want to choose somebody who's serving them. So, all right, great stuff, gang. We are over time. We need to end this call. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. I'm going to unmute everybody, so it's going to get loud really quick. Hang on. All right. Gang, are you all there? Yes? Hello?
Yes.
All right. Was this call good for you? Was it good for you?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, gang. So listen, you're so welcome. You're welcome. So I'm going to mute everybody and say goodbye. So thanks for calling in today. Listen, don't forget that if you just improve 10% a month, that's 120% in a year. Try not to, you know, don't have it be a real estate revolution, have it be an evolution. Evolve your business to the next level. Improve just a little bit every month. If you do that, you will more than double your skill, your ability, your production. And don't forget that we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level in their life. And your money is a gauge as to how many people you've helped get to their next level. So focus on serving and getting people to the next level, and the money will follow you. Thanks for calling in this month. I look forward to talking to you guys next month. God bless you. Love you. And don't forget to keep smiling. All right, talk to you soon. Bye, gang.